troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening. Hello. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm doing great tonight. I'm excited about our show.
Yeah, we got quite a mix tonight, I think.
Audience, we're going to mingle it up a little bit in terms of, we'll still do current events, but in our secondary studies, we're going to proceed with a couple short studies in terms of providing you the best possible application for who the players are, what the spiritual signatures are, what the attributes of these players are, and what systems they're working in after current events. Chris, Bill, would you like to add to that before we go into current events?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, yeah, I just there is so much taking place now, and it's almost to the point where you got to draw a line. The information that's coming at us, you know, I was just reading that scripture today where it says, you know, in Daniel it says that, you know, right in the context of where the Lord said that these words are sealed till the time of the end, and at the time that the words are unsealed, there'll be a time of everyone running to and fro, and knowledge will increase. And it's like, I mean, this is what we have. There's just so much bombarding us all day long. And, you know, we just really have to have our discernment filters on and really just be so close to the Lord, because He's the only one that we can trust to get us through this information, you know, war that's out there coming at us. You know, we want to know what's going on, but it's just so hard to with all the deception and misinformation, disinformation. But, you know, we're here tonight just to do our best with presenting what we see and what we understand and how we understand it with what the Lord is showing us. So.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, that's a good rendering there. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective. I some of these scripts or texts have multi-readings in them. I can see that knowledge increasing in the end days, and the to and fro is just chaos in society because of all this knowledge.
Yeah. And we're definitely following the script. They're definitely following a script.
Yeah.
Now
dividing the word, you know, and rightly dividing the word, like Sue had said on that show, and I'd never really put it from that perspective. I thought she did an excellent job bringing that out. That it's really identifying the players on the stage or on the ball field.
Yeah.
And tonight, audience,
what trying to do.
We're prepared to do that. And the basic outlay that I use myself is that we're all somewhat like Peter. We're built on the rock, and Peter, through his books and through the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel. You can, I could relate to him. I can relate to Peter because I want to cut the ear off. I can relate to getting out on the boat and, you know, start walking and, you know, it's, I'm just not there yet.
Did you really want to cut his ear off, or were you aiming for something else and missed?
I just feel bad that we even have to talk about it like that, because the endurance we're talking about, audience, is that Peter endured. He had prisons, he had visions, he struggled with himself as to what was happening in his life as this opened up to him in the spirit. And what we're basically outlining in terms of the players that we're dealing with is that it is the players on the other side of the plumb line are those that are against the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill, would you like to add to the finished works of Jesus Christ so that our audience has a very clear understanding in terms of Scripture?
Yeah, the most important thing is that all ways unto salvation are finished. There's no revolving door into salvation. There's no country that he forgot to come and make a speech to. Was all finished on the cross, one time sacrifice once for all. And you know, it's the washing of his blood that it's the only remissions of sin. It's the only way to the Father. There is no other way. If you think you're going to seek God without Jesus, it's just not there. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father except by me. And He finished his work on the cross. It's they're not going to come and sign a treaty in the temple and refinish up what he forgot to do and let the Antichrist finish up, you know, the rest of Daniel 9:24. It's not going to happen. And, you know, this is the biggest delirium that most people are in. No matter what cult they're in, they're all in that cult. And I don't see how they can deny that. That's denying the Lord. I don't see how you can.
Which is, audience, is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it really is.
And we can say diminishment, the diminished works at the cross, is what's happening now. That they have taken the true understanding of the spiritual Israel, and we'll recount Nicodemus. Nicodemus was told by our Lord Jesus, "Hi, Aaron."
It's down here. I had it down here.
You want to say hi to our audience? And then you're going to go back upstairs, sweetie? Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, hello.
So head upstairs.
Oh, boy. Bob, you got your hands full.
It's dark down here, and it's cold. Bill, would you like to pick up? I'll be right there.
Surely. Yeah, it is a total diminishment of Christ's finished works, and people do it, they don't even realize the blasphemies coming out of their mouth.
And then this has all set the stage for, you know, what we see now in this Hebrew roots movement and everybody, you know, going back to the Torah and, you know, the thought that they need more Moses and it's just craziness because they don't need more Moses, they need more Jesus.
Right, they need more Jesus. The whole world, that's the whole problem with the whole world, you know, is, you know, James Lloyd has said it many times. He's coined the phrase, he says, the world doesn't have enough Jesus. And, I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
But it breaks my heart because I really do believe that there's this true, you know, multitude that love the Lord that are looking for more. Because, you know, this is what happens when they're not getting fed in these harlot churches. Because there are people that are hungry out there, and they don't know where to turn, you know. And it was just so it's just so sad that they're out there struggling. And the Hebrew Roots movement does have a lot of answers because they do go to, they take people to a level that they're craving, you know, because they are hungry for more, for the Word. But unfortunately, it's leading them down another path that's just not the right path.
Right. what that does is it, you know, that because Behemoth has sucked up all the waters of the river, you know, the famine has left them thirsty, and this right. is a perfect opportunity for Satan to bring in, you know, the Antichrist system and lead everybody back to Israel.
Absolutely, yeah. The diminishment of the word and the famine on the land, not for bread or water, but for the word that we preach all the time here. That's true, Bill, because it's causing that hunger. And, mm-hmm. you know, we, you know, we're just, you know, grateful in this adventure, you know, that the Lord has shown us, you know, the truth. And, it's just so clear to us. But,
yes, it is. And, you know, I want to expound on that. Is just this, I would be the last person to think to know this. You know, when I was as old as 55, I would have never dreamed of knowing these things. And it wasn't me. It just one day the Lord just called me out and says, I'm going to tell you some things here, and I want you to follow me.
Yeah.
It would be the last thing that I've ever would have expected in my life.
And thank you for covering me, by the way.
Oh, most certainly, Brother Bob.
Now, audience, we have the players on this stage after our Lord Jesus Christ, who we follow. You have a group of people that in the parables were called the multitude. And the multitude were not the disciples, but they heard the gospel. And they were known throughout the analogies and the parables for not going back and getting clarity. And what Bill just described is he was gifted with wanting a love of the truth, and the Lord bestowed upon him to do the will of the Father and study himself approved and then to spread the message. Is that a good rendering, Bill?
I would say that's extremely accurate.
So now you have the multitude, and I want to describe the multitude to you, audience. The multitude are likened unto calves of the stall. And this is the from the glossary of metaphors in the trumpet judgments unveiled. The calves of the stall are the multitude. They are eaten by the ones lying upon beds of ivory and stretched upon beds, and that's referred to Amos chapter 6, verse 4, when the Lord, the Son of Righteousness, arises with healing in his wings. He heals the stroke of the multitude's wound. The multitude grows up like calves in the stall. The calves, oxen, are also seen as one of the animals that the money changers were selling in the temple when Jesus overturned the tables and chased them out with a whip. John chapter 2, verse 15. Gentlemen, let's talk about the calves in the stall and the multitude. Chris?
Yeah, well, you know, my one of my favorite topics that I just feel such clarity on the Lord showing me as far as what you're talking about, Bob, is directly related to the merchandisers. And this stuff, we're all just getting pieces of this, folks. And it's just amazing that, you know, what the Lord is doing with us as far as this goes. But I see clearly that this is tied to the mark of the beast, because it says in Revelation chapter 13 that no one will be able to buy or sell except he take the mark. And I see this directly tied to what Bob is talking about. Now, I know you're going, what? How can that be? But it's the merchandising. And the merchandising is what takes place in the church, because this is what's happening today. The scripture clearly identifies the false shepherds as merchandisers. They will make merchandise of you. And they're judgment lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. This is what's coming. You know, this is bad. This is really bad for these false teachers in these churches today. And what they are doing is making merchandise of you. And this merchandise is exactly what it's speaking of in Revelation chapter 13, concerning the mark of the beast, because those who refuse the mark of the beast are essentially those who are refusing to participate in the harlot church system. And this is a process that's underway now, and it's likened to the harvest, because this is what the harvest is. It's the separation of the wheat from the tares. And, you know, we're seeing this clearly underway right now as the barley part of the harvest, you know, the first fruits of the harvest has already begun. And what's going to take place is as the truth invades the apostate church, the truth is going to divide the church. And it's going to divide the wheat from the tares. And these are the identities that we're talking about. It's just, and, you know, we made reference to it earlier. I want to encourage everybody to jump on the Third Day website and the Threshing Floor website and listen to, there's a couple of new shows up there. Just amazing. You know, Sue Patterson had a revelation this week concerning rightly dividing the word of truth and the understanding that we've had over that scripture all these years. Sue is seeing it as the what we're talking about tonight, the dividing of these identities. Because we were having a discussion in the pre-show in that we always thought that it was dividing the truth from error. But when you get down to it, the Bible doesn't have lies in it. There is no error in the Bible. So how do you divide lies out of truth? Because the Bible is truth. So dividing the scripture, dividing the true word has to mean something else. And, you know, we're seeing, I see this so clearly. I called Bob all excited. I go, do you believe what Sue has figured out? And we were just amazed, you know, talking on the phone about it, because it's just wonderful that dividing is what's happening now. God is dividing out his flock.
And that's audience, right. How were, if you're new and you haven't studied and this is all new to you, welcome. Welcome to our light with the Joe Lunchbox crew.
Yeah.
And we're trying to give you the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it's defined through the gospel. And Chris was referring to the proper rendering of the wheat and the tares, and the gathering of the tares. Now, we, on pre-show, likened it like, you know, the tares are starting to turn black.
Mm.
Okay, and I'll give you a quick agricultural understanding of a tare. It looks just like a wheat. It springs like a wheat. And then at the time of harvest, that tare turns black. Okay, so it's definable from a wheat in the field. And there's a gathering of the tares. Now, I'm going to define the tares. And it's the definitive defining of the tares are in the gospel as a metaphor. So when you read your gospel or you do a search in your gospel, if you have a Bible search engine, you can find them online. You can download them. We recommend Eastward. Bill, what is your what website are you using?
Oh, I use. Let me pull it up real fast.
And we have Blue Letter Bible that'll give you audio.
Blue Letter Bible, I use that from time to time. I also use the sacredtext.com, sacredtext-.com. It's got a King James Version in it with a strong concordance.
So, audience, when we're describing these things as okay, you have a multitude of people that are in the churches that are unaware of this going on, And they're likened unto calves and stalls. They're the wheat audience. And they will come into the truth as through the scriptures told. But the tares mm-hmm. are recognized as serpents. And the serpents are the sixth trumpet metaphor for the second third of the apostate. They are in the role of the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. Jesus and John the Baptist referred to these groups of apostate Jews as serpents and vipers. And that's found in Matthew chapter 3, 7, 12, 34, 23, 33, and Luke chapter 3, verse 7. They take on the role of their father, who is Leviathan, a dragon. The serpents also go by the name of adder, asps, cockatrices, vipers, and dragons. The definition for dragons and serpents is the same word, dragons can be found in the following verses: Isaiah 13:22, 34:13, 35:7, 43:20, Jeremiah 9:11, audience, 10:22, Jeremiah 14, chapter 14, verse 6, 49:33, 51:37, Mount Esau's heritage was laid waste and left for the dragons of the wilderness, and that's Malachi 1:3. The Lord sent fiery serpents to Israel in the wilderness, Deuteronomy 8:15. One of the curses that came upon the people is serpents. Now, for the second part of that apostate in the churches are the scorpions. And the scorpions, as they are referred to throughout this book, are actually described in the fifth trumpet as locust, with the tail of a scorpion. They are the first third of the apostate that betray the multitude to the serpents and strip the multitude of their possessions in the role of Judas Iscariot. The scorpion showed up in the trek through the wilderness in Deuteronomy 8:15. Scorpions are found as a rebellious house of Israel in Ezekiel 2:6. The Lord gives the 144,000 the power to tread on serpents and scorpions in Luke 10:19. The sting of the scorpion is when he striketh a man is a metaphorically the betrayal of the multitude. And you can compare the definitions of the word striketh and betray, which are strong striketh 38:17 and betray 38:60 and the deeper root 13:25. They are almost identical. If fact, some of the definitions match word for word. In the Old Testament, the word scorpion is defined as a knotted whip or a scourge. Gentlemen, do we have the terrors down? Can we expand for our audience to understand the spirit of a serpent, the spirit of a scorpion, the attributes of both of these terrors?
Yeah, that... Tares, we see it in the parable of in the field, where the tares grew up with the wheat. Tares are being the evil. It was planted. It says the evil one had planted, the wicked one had planted them there. Evil always has two factions. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, you'll find that evil has two factions. And the two factions of the tares are serpents and scorpions. Four groups. There's the remnant seed of God, the elect, those who have made sure their election, the 144,000. Then on the other side of the fence, you have the tares, which are divided into the serpents and scorpions on the other side of the plumb line.
And the attributes.
And in the middle, you have your multitude, which are referred to all throughout the scriptures, many, many times the multitude are just are referred to as the righteous. And as it says in, if the righteous scarcely be saved, then what of the ungodly and the sinner? Well, the ungodly is your serpent, the sinner is your scorpion. That's your two factions of evil. And as these become more and more evil, these factions, they become darker and blacker, until the tares just become completely black. You had mentioned about Bob there, I think it was you, had mentioned that Jesus had sent the multitude away most of the time.
Yes.
And the one place he did not send them away, and you're right, by the way, that is true. That was a very true statement. Was in Matthew chapter 23 when he addresses the serpents and scorpions. He addresses the whole serpents and scorpions right in front of the multitude. He was not speaking any parables. He woed them eight times in that chapter. And this was all done in front of the multitudes and his disciples.
So, audience, you have now a description of the wheat, the field, so to speak, the battlefield. Now, on one layer of scripture, we're rightly dividing the word in relaying to you who the actual players are in this biblical construct that the Lord likens unto, even if it were told you ahead of time, you still wouldn't believe it. You have a foe that you're in the Lord Jesus Christ preparing yourself to be a holy vessel, and your foe is not aware of who they are. They think everything's fine, everything's great. Chris?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, what does the parable say? Master, do you want me to rip up the tares? And he says, no, let them grow up together. You know, and this is the thing that's so amazing. Because,
you know what's amazing there about that piece of scripture? It says his servants came to him. So who of his servants is there? It's not the wheat, because the wheat are already planted in the tares, or in the field. You know, it must be his servants, the prophets, that Amos was speaking about.
Huh. You know, that's interesting.
Somebody came to him and asked him that. It says his servants came to him and asked him.
Wow.
Should we pull up these tares?
And looking at it, if you were told such a thing, two years ago, if you told me that I would know what a serpent, a scorpion, the multitude, the 144,000, if I knew every player intimately and could read through scripture and pick out those factions and have the ability to drill down on it and give the proper rendering, I couldn't tell you that it would be so. I couldn't believe it.
But you know, when we hear that the wheat and the tares grow up together, you know, this is something I have to, give all the credit to Bill for picking up on this. Bill is just amazing for picking up on these seemingly insignificant statements. But, you know, it also says that Jacob and Esau grew up together. And we really see a corollary here, because this is what, you know, Jacob and Esau are two identities that are clearly representative of the wheat and the tares. Because we see Jacob is definitely the wheat, and the wheat who is transformed into the remnant seed as Jacob is reborn as Israel. And
That's right. We
see Esau, you know, who the Lord hated, the only person that the Lord hated. Is that a correct statement, Bill? The only one?
It's the only place in Scripture where it says that the Lord hated.
The only one. Yeah, I was thinking there might have been one other occasion.
There are two or three witnesses to it, but he was the only one that he said that he hated.
He hated Esau. And what is Esau? Esau is the emphasis of the flesh. And this is what we have to say. At the heart of all the false doctrine and apostasy going on today in the church, it's all related to flesh. All, you know, false prophets, pastors, shepherds, pointing their flock towards fleshly solutions to these problems that we face today. But in fact, God's kingdom is not of this world. And
that's Esau right there.
And
you know, that story goes all the way back to Genesis, actually. The first two to grow up together was Cain and Abel. Or Cain and Abel.
Uh-huh.
And Abel turned to a completely black tear.
Right.
He was separated. And the new one born out of it, you know, because Abel died, so the new Israel would have been at that time was Zeth.
Amazing.
You know, was born to her another seed, Zeth.
And it's amazing, the story, audience, is that you are having likened unto the rise of Esau. And the Esau effect was coined in the threshing floor. I believe it was Randy or Sue. In their shows, as this 5 years of study started revealing, where you, if you listen to the shows, you'll be like, you can hear in their voices the coming together of the scripture, and they have a definitive picture as an Esau effect, and this is what we're seeing right now, audience. This is prophecy live. This is ongoing. And the definition of Esau effect is, the Esau effect is the apostate church following in the footsteps of Esau and giving away their birthright. They give away their birthright to the physical Israel and the physical Jews. Through this process, they lift up the physical nation of Israel and the physical Jews as a chosen people and thereby commit the abomination of desolation, the spiritual Edomites' blasphemy, the spiritual Jews, the multitude, who claim their spiritual birthright. Gentlemen, would you like to expand on that for our audience?
That's a foundational truth, is that Paul taught, he could not have been more clear, that after the cross of Jesus, we are now spiritual Jews, that a Jew is a Jew who's one inwardly. And this is the foundational teaching that Scripture, when it speaks of Israel, it's speaking of you. It's speaking of God's people. And it's always been the same. God's people are Israel. Out of Israel is the remnant of Israel, who are God's elect. And these are the people that make it. And this is the story from Genesis to Revelation. And it's been 150 solid years of satanic brainwashing that has completely twisted these identities around. And it started by the infiltration of the church with the Scofield Study Bible. And these doctrines of dispensational thought were planted in the seminaries and have been propagated throughout the church to the day to today, is prepared to stage for the great falling away. Because you take a guy like John Wesley or Whitfield and ask them about the Jews, they would have no idea what you're talking about. You know, as far
as that's true.
You know, and this is all new. This is all new teaching that has just become mainstream through the most sinister, well-organized and patient manipulation and deception that Satan has achieved. And ultimately, in the last 20, 30 years, with these paperback books, you know, propagating the rapture, and all the media that has got pretty much the general public, the general Christian public, still embracing the notion that God's people will avoid judgment, which is absolutely absurd, because the purpose of the Great Tribulation is to purify the church. This is the point, and this is where we are, folks. We are today on the threshold of the Great Tribulation. The only thing that we see missing from the prophetic plan is the event known as the waking of the multitude, and this is the harvest of the wheat. When the harvest of the wheat takes place, the tribulation will be underway. Well, that's what the tribulation is. It's the harvest. The tribulation is the harvest. It's the finishing up of things, and this is what we're preparing you for, because you cannot go into this thing unprepared. Because if you're caught unawares when the trumpets sound, it's going to be brutal.
And if you're a cat in the stall, audience, if you're not recognizing the spiritual signatures, but more importantly, if you're not studying yourself approved in terms of looking this up yourself, going through the material, which is all biblical, all the material on the Threshing Floor, WatchmanWeekly.com, Third Day, and the adjoining blogs and ministries are all proper renderings of scriptures. Now, a little common sense tells you, audience, okay, this seems difficult, but I encourage you, just short studies, spoon feed yourself, get out of the milk of scripture and get to the meat of scripture. And if you recount our shows, we have definitive shows that have themes that you can have all of your biblical questions answered in terms of what does this mean, what does that mean. You'll find it on our ministry, the proper renderings. And on the flip side, to recognize the apostate church, you don't have to go as far as follow the money. These large denominational churches are built and they are run by money changers. They don't want you to have, if they tell you the truth of scriptures, they don't have a ministry. They can't have their McMansions. They can't have their pride. They're the superstar on the stage, not Jesus.
Yeah, the foundation of the corporate church today is counting on the congregation remaining in lies, making lies their refuge. And, you know, we at Watchman Weekly and many other remnant ministries that we're associated with are calling you to the truth. We're calling you to abide in Christ, which means to abide in the truth. And if this would happen in the corporate church structure, it would crumble because the church, the corporate church depends on the needs of the apostate to keep coming back for more whatever they get, for more false edification week after week after week, following this DVD series, that Bible study, this study book, all with just man-made doctrines there's no freedom in. Because when we call you to the truth, we encourage you to abide in the truth. This is where God's rest is. This is where the freedom is. And this is where God's protection is. Because this is what we need when we to enter the tribulation that's coming. We have to be grounded in the truth. We have to be girded. Our loins need to be girded with the truth. And this is where we need to be. Otherwise, we're going to get mowed down by this tribulation that's coming. Because that's what the tribulation is for. It's to sweep away the lies. And the hail will sweep away the lies. And this is what's upon us, folks. But it's going to take preparation to survive it.
Yes, and that the preparation of the saints, audience, is in the studying of yourself approved. It's not us telling you. We're teaching you a very difficult, complicated scripture that's broken down to a proper rendering of scripture that you can now look outside the gospel and witness these things in your life. If you go to any church in your town, go to two churches, you're going to get a different message, and it's not going to be this gospel. They're going to be propagating some abomination or some mingling that is not of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That I assure you. And
you know, can I jump in? Or
yes, Robert? Absolutely, Chris.
Okay. This is something that just keeps coming back to me because I got to share, folks, with anybody that's been with us for a long time. And, you know, we're all anxiously waiting for the time that the multitude does start waking up. And I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you this is starting to happen. I'm getting more and more questions than I've ever had before. People are curious. People I've been talking to for months are coming back with look what I just found, and stuff that I know they didn't find by accident. I know that they're getting somewhere. I had a good friend that I've been talking to for over a year. He said, "What are these?" And he sent me a link to the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And I said to him, "Well, if you found these, you're definitely seeking the truth, because I assure you these are authentic, and this is definitely, and he was just asking questions about it, and I was able to answer him, and he listened to me. He didn't glaze over and change the subject like happened so much. But what I do see is that the way that Jesus taught in parables are really a good way to communicate the truth to people who are seeking, to the multitude in your life. Because, you know, we're here on Watchmen Weekly to equip you, the saints, to minister in your sphere of influence that the Lord's placed you in. And this is how the Lord is accomplishing his purpose. But I do see, you know, some foundational truths, these simple truths that the Lord taught in the parables. And the one that is just so foundational in what we teach. And honestly, it's a big part of how the three watchmen here came together. It was over this topic on a forum that is so clearly at work here today. And I'm going to read two scriptures here. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And then in Matthew 13:33, "Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which the woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole loaf was leavened." And this is what we have today. You know, the church is built upon lies, and the big lie is that leaven is good. And you ask any mainstream pastor what this parable means, and he's going to tell you that leaven is the, you know, spreading of the truth through the church, or spreading the gospel through the world. And it's just that's calling, you know, evil good and good evil, because I'm afraid to tell you, folks, that leaven is bad. Leaven is pride. You know, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, They were instructed to spend the week before the feast, you know, purging their homes of any leaven, sweeping every nook and cranny to make sure there was no hope of any leaven or any chance of being puffed up, because leaven is associated with pride. And this is the foundational lie that's permeating the church through the church today, is that leaven is a good thing, when in fact leaven is teaching that leaven leavens the whole lump. And this is what we have. We have the church completely leavened. The church has been leavened with pride. And I'm here to tell you, the serpent pride is at work today in the corporate church, having run up against it numerous times.
Now, I just want to give an example, audience. You could pick any minister that's on the national stage. And we've gone through the movements, and I don't need to name names. You have a minister that is a multimillionaire. His books are sold on in terms of millions.
Go to oneplace.com. Salem Communications, who controls the entire Christian media complex, and you'll see them all right there, because those are all those pastors, all those mainstream preachers have built their empire on the back of the beast.
And if you good point, Chris.
They're the promoters that are going to sell this whole thing on the closed circuit TV.
The Don King of our time.
Yeah. That's right.
So we have money changers promoting false. Let's just say, let's look at them as children, and they have their fingers in the light socket, okay, and they are going to get electrocuted, and their parents didn't teach them not to do that. They are tares. They are serpents and scorpions. They have attributes that they don't care, audience. They are storing up great wealth, and they're not thinking of the kingdom of God. They're thinking about the flesh, and they're betraying you, audience. They're betraying you, and they're betraying our Lord Jesus Christ in his gospel. And it's woe unto them. Woe unto them. Brother Bill?
Yeah, they in many cases they don't even know they're betrayers. I mean, the deceived are themselves deceived. They're just lost in the paradigm of the love of money.
And what they are is they're cunning. And here's
behind them are very cunning too.
And we're told we have power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So we in treading there's many ways to tread. Exposure. We're exposing their lies. We're exposing their attributes. Here's what cunning means. It's a sense of training, an expert, cunning, a workman, a primitive group to separate mentally or distinguish. That is generally understand, attend, consider, be cunning, diligently direct, discern, eloquent, feel, inform, instruct, have intelligence, know, look well to mark, perceive, be prudent, regard, skill, think, cause, make, to give, have, understand, view, wise, wisely, wise man. Okay, so that's on the other side of the plumb line. Well, if you're told that you have to be wise as the serpent, then you have to be as cunning as the serpent. And if the serpent is hiding under a rock, you flip the rock up with your staff, and there they are, cowering under a rock. But they're comfy cozy. They're in their McMansions on your money if you're donating to them. And they're propagating wars in the flesh because they're betraying spiritual Israel for fleshly Israel. And they're donating to propagate this expansion of Esau, the spirit of Edom, on the land. Brother Chris?
That's really the common thread that you're going to always find here. Because, you know, I encourage everybody to familiarize yourself with the machine that is called Salem Communication. Salem Communication is an organization that controls Christian media. TV, radio, books, and the internet. They have the biggest Christian presence, in the world. And, Salem Communication is owned by Stuart Epperson, and he is a member of the Council on National Policy. Council on National Policy is a Christian front for a Masonic, secret society. So in other words, Christian media is controlled by Freemasons, and this is the depth of the deception, the layer upon layer upon layer of deception that people have no clue, of how deep Satan's deception runs. But they have to also realize that God allows this deception, because this deception is God's means of separating out his flock, because his flock are not deceived. His flock hear his voice. But we have to understand what is going on here with Christian media. As the Masons have seized control of Christian media, number one, every ministry connected with Salem Communication is pointing towards the support of the secular state of Israel, which is the false prophet causing them that dwell on the earth to wander after the beast whose mortal wound was healed. And this deadly wound of the beast was healed in 1948 when the state of Israel became a nation. And, you know, we're going to speak tonight about current events in Egypt. And, folks, this is the end game. We're seeing this plan working out in real time as far as the Antichrist kingdom, you know, setting up his reign. When I say his, you know, we see the Antichrist as a structure, the beast system. And it's, you know, about to make the final turn on the home stretch of world domination. All at the time, deceived Christians are supporting it. And by the time they wake up to the deception, it's going to be too late. And this is why we have to be so tightly locked into Jesus' yoke that we follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. Because we cannot take a chance on functioning today, being led by our own will. Because those who are led by their own will are being like lambs led to the slaughter. Because, you know, the deception is so great, it would deceive the very elect if possible. And we believe that the elect are not deceived. So we encourage you to find yourself numbered among the elect. And I want to encourage everybody to jump on thirdgreatawakening.org. Go to the second page and familiarize yourself with Salem Communication. Understand how far-reaching these tentacles are as far as the control and manipulation of the Christian agenda. I'm talking lukewarm messages on these radio stations that have turned Christianity into a, it's, you know, we're going to talk about tonight, flatteries. He will corrupt with flatteries. The message today in the Christian establishment is nonsense. They've turned Jesus into a stage show. You know, Jesus rocks. Jesus doesn't rock, okay? I'm sorry. The way that this has become, it's the abomination. It's a level of the abomination. And as I say, this abomination is what's prepared people to accept the tip of this abomination spear, in that they're forfeiting their birthright of as Israel. Israel, who Christ died for. Christ died that we might find ourselves numbered among God's people, numbered among God's chosen people. And Christians who are supporting the secular state of Israel and the physical race of Jewish people, believing there's going to be a second work of God as he redeems the Jews, are you know, sadly mistaken and are massively deceived. And, you know, this is what we have today. And this is all propagated through Christian media. And this media is all linked to these mainstream preachers. The names I don't have to mention that you hear on the radio every day are all essentially riding the back of the beast, because this is what's taking place. State, you know, church and state have become one. This is the metaphor of the woman riding the beast. The woman is the church. The beast is the satanic government. And they are in lockstep with each other, preparing the way for the one world religion, the one world Antichrist religion. And this thing is so far along, as we see figureheads like Rick Warren propagating this UN Agenda 21 in his church with New Age figureheads leading his multitude. And when I say multitude, I'm talking, you know, millions of people, because any given weekend, pastor after pastor is reading, is parroting a sermon that he downloaded from Saddleback Church's website as this purpose-driven nonsense has poisoned the church with a with a gospel that doesn't save. It's a message with Jesus mixed in, but there's no born-again experience. There's no salvation in this message. So today, these mega churches are full of unsaved people that are on the road to hell. They're on the broad path of destruction. And this is a fact we can't minimize. And so this is where we are today, folks. The situation is perilous.
And you need to recognize this, audience. Here's two confirming scriptures of this, because this is the Lord's will that this happens. This is his universal plan for the salvation of the remnant, the spiritual Amen. Israel.
Amen.
In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told to you." And we're telling you this now, audience. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So the fleshly definitions of serpents and scorpions is tares, audience. And if you do study yourself approved and look up those terms in a Strong's Concordance and get familiar with the attributes of a serpent and scorpion, a serpent has many attributes. It will hide. It will spit venom in your face. It will paralyze you with a bite. It has poison. It will coil around your neck and strangle you. These are attributes that the Lord is telling you that this serpent spirit, ye generation of serpents and vipers, you priests, rabbis, this, that, every name for fleshly man in these churches is attributed and envisioned by the Lord as likened unto serpents and scorpions. Brother Bill?
Yeah, the Christian Pharisees.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out real quick, as for we were discussing the identity and the confusion of Israel, and you know, the Salem Communications, not only are they spreading their propaganda, but they are identifying Islam as the religion now that's going to take over the world, which is just totally nonsensical.
Oh, it's just absolute nuts.
And the purpose of that is when they do put a stop to it, after this all thing, this, you know, after the end of World War III or Gog Magog, you know, they're going to raise their glasses high to a toast that they've, you know, they've conquered the one world religion that was trying to take over the world, and while themselves will be ushered in themselves silently. And I like Soul Refuge.
That's where the real deception is.
That's where the real deception is. You know, Soul Refuge at what is his website? I thought I had
it's www.soulrefuge.org/Israel/.
Right. Is the Israel one, right, that webpage. He has got really solid articles there that are jam-packed with scripture, totally identifying who Israel is. And I think they're, you know, they're all excellent reads. He's got quite a number of them on there.
And not to and to go along with that, Bill. Now, audience, Jesus, I don't have the scripture, but it came to mind when he crossed over. I believe it was I don't recall it, the proper rendering of scripture is when he crossed over into this land, he was asked to pay taxes. And because the kingdom is not of his kingdom is not of this world, it was an abomination to him. So he sent Peter to the body of water, and a fish came out and gave him a coin to pay the taxes. Now, you audience have to have this understanding that all three of us are in one way patriots. We're going to go over Ron Paul as an example of the candidates that we have, so we could reveal to you exactly what is going on in this dialectic. But for you, the followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter went and got the coin, and they paid the taxes. And we're to follow the rules. We're to be honest. We're to follow the Ten Commandments. We're to do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's a great privilege and good news to recognize what is going on in your time and in the body of Christ, the remnant, spiritual remnant of Israel. And looking in on the outside, you're looking at a fleshly construct that is exactly what the gospel speaks of. Bill?
Yeah, what they consider today, this whole establishment of the world, that what they glorify, what's glorified on every TV station, every radio station, every movie, out of every mouth, as you said, it's a complete abomination to Jesus. It was a complete abomination. What they're glorifying is what was abomination to him. And that's
the whole
what
thing.
Turned around it is.
The whole thing. The whole apostate mess.
I mean, how foolish would one look standing in front of Jesus, like Peter was there after he had denied him for three times. And then, then Jesus walked by and he looked at his face. I mean, can you imagine these people actually witnessing this, Jesus looking at them and saying, you people are sitting here salivating over this abomination?
And it's you, audience, that are referred to in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And the key to understanding this, audience, is the overcometh. And when you drill down on overcometh, it's basically, literally, to conquer. Okay, and how do you conquer? It's prevail, get the victory. And I would say the key to that is to fear what we're telling you, in terms of you're looking in all the wrong places, and the fear of economic insecurities and the fear of everything going on with the earthquakes and the spiritual. And we'll give you some doomtard things in current events. But it is to fear the Lord in his revelation to you that now you have an understanding. And you're to understand this through the will of the Lord, and to then prepare to be a holy vessel to do his will. And when you drill down on more of this root word, you find it's conquest. This is the Lord's conquest, abstractly, that is figuratively, the means of success and victory. That's overcoming all of this, to recognize this fleshly world, all lies and wickedness. They take evil for good. The churches are a total abomination to our Lord, and he is going to come and clean out the churches. And Revelation is happening in real time, and we're trying to convey in this show, more importantly, the keys to understanding the scriptures in terms of the metaphorical understanding. Chris?
Yeah, are we ready to jump into some current events here?
Bill, are you done? You want to go to current events? Any more comments?
I would like to take 1 minute on the fear of the Lord, and I'd also like to take 30 seconds. And last week I made an incorrect statement about Tamar. The 10 generations were removed from Judah up to Jesse. But Tamar was not the harlot in the story, and I had misquoted that. I'd said she was the harlot. but she wasn't a harlot. But the child was born illegitimately. That's why those sons of Judah himself were removed for 10 generations. So I just wanted to clear that up. And I'd also like to point, take a quick second here on touching the fear of the Lord that you mentioned. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, as Scripture tells us. And in the end days, knowledge shall increase. So knowledge has increased greatly since the invention of steel in 1847. We have had great minds like Nikola Tesla, which, you know, the underworld has stolen a lot of his inventions and are using them for evil. It's because they have no fear of the world, the Lord. When this knowledge is increased without fear of the Lord, this is how you get GMO food, because they have no fear of the Lord that this food
this
might
is what
be poisoning
you get.
They might be poisoning people in India where they've tried this. They just don't care.
They want their yacht. They want their fleshly things, and they don't care who they hurt.
Right.
Full spectrum dominance.
Yes. And they're a divided house, audience.
Yeah,
they are going to fall and fall into hell. And we're here to tell you this conspiracy against the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to have some common sense about this. In terms of looking at the world right now, because we're not going to have a chance to reflect back on these transitions. You know, after if I was in World War II and I was on the radio right now, audience, giving you a live update, I'm sure I would think that this was the end of the world and the tribulation.
Okay. That's true. It could fit in a lot of places, yes.
And in my generation, right now, I'm saying the same thing, audience. Okay? This conspiracy against the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you understand this and what a conspiracy is, because the Lord is telling us through his strange act that a conspiracy, when you look at it, it's an alliance, it's a confederacy, it's a conspiracy, it's treasonous. It is a root to tie physically, gird, confine, compact mentally, in love, league, bind up, make, conspire, join together, knit, stronger, work, treason. And this conspiracy against the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ that's being revealed to us is such a tale that you just cannot understand the deception. The myriad pages that are on beastwatch.org will give you the fleshly understanding, but spiritually we're compelling our listeners to keep studying. And if somebody asks you a question and you want to witness to them, ask them, what do they want to know from the Bible? What's the proper rendering of Scripture? There's got to be a question that you can answer and witness that will give them the truth. Also, audience, this is a mandate by our Lord in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So anyone in the audience, whether now, 10 years, 30 years, finds themselves in a position, which you're in now, audience, you're in a type of prison if you're being lied to. You're in
if you don't have the truth, you're a captive.
You're a captive. And our Lord is telling you that if you stay a captive, but you come back to the Lord because you witness these, the multitude witness this. As they witnessed our Lord Jesus Christ, they just don't understand it. They will have understanding, audience.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've got one scripture about concerning that. And that Jeremiah 51, verse 7 says, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that has made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. And I will make her drunk, her princes, and her wise men, her captains, and her rulers, her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. I mean, with these identities we're talking about tonight, folks, you know, make no mistake, the serpents and scorpions never wake up. They stay in the apostasy till the end, and they're cut off and burned. This is where this is heading. And, you know, we just, you know, these identities are being set right now.
And it be a the will of the Lord that one of these grand apostate preachers that's been propagating repents. If he repents and his flock is divided, it's a key indication of the multitude waking up, audience.
That's
because
true.
If you studied the scriptures your whole life and the Holy Spirit reveal these truths to you, I'm never going to judge these people. It is for the Lord to judge. But thinking of them as child and Lord's great compassion on his people, there may be a pastor out there that has just a good heart and he's been deceived.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of them.
And he may pray to not be deceived one day, and it is revealed to him the truth of Scripture. And
that's where they, they have to come out of that, let's drink up and tomorrow will be more abundant. That's the stumbling block that they got.
But, you know, there is a real problem for the leadership in the corporate church, because there's this deep, 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 almost physical deception that takes place as the days get darker and darker, and their livelihoods are tied to the beast system. And to for a leader in the apostate church to come out of her is a lot harder than it is for the multitude, because their very existence is tied to this system. And then that coupled with the fact that we talk about the money, and yes, that's an aspect of it, but it's really the power. It's really the power that the leadership gets
pride
from their position of leadership.
And it's based on pride.
They both work together.
Now, if we're going to go to current events, audience, and make the transition in terms of our normal current events are based on what we've all three read in the past week on current events, but we're going to switch it over a little bit and talk about democracy, and we're going to talk about spiritual renderings. Brother Chris.
Yeah, well, you know, I gotta really say that I had a lot of stuff come together for me this week in understanding, just in my studies, and I listened to a show this week that was really eye-opening. It was a really neat guy from Pakistan that had a really good handle on what's taking place in the Middle East, and he just laid it out.
Excellent show.
Wasn't that good? And I'll put a link to that on the show. I would encourage the listeners to check it out. I've sent it around to some people already, and a lot of people came back and said, "Wow." But it's just little pieces, you know, fragments of this thing that I've learned, but just to understand how so much is coming together right now. And what I've really come to see is that really the turn of the century was the end game, and the world wars, as far as World War I, World War II, and now ultimately World War III, because we believe, folks, that this is where we're heading, and we believe that the plan for three world wars, and that the third world war is the fomenting of hatred between the Muslims and the Jews, and the Jews who are linked to the Christians, because the Christians are supporting the secular Jews. But we see this whole big game plan started at World War I, which was a war that was completely contrived by the Luciferian bankers to all for an end. And I see that out of the World War I, and what took place in the time between World War I and II, if there ever was a break, I mean, I just look at World War One and Two as like one big war, kind of in my mind. But
right, it was one war, right?
But you know, you see during the 20s and 30s as they started carving up the Ottoman Empire, the Arab states, and you know, I see, you know, in Scripture we see that when the fig tree, you know, when it's talk, what is this? How does it? I'm paraphrasing. Where the fig tree and all the trees.
Right, it says the fig tree and all the other trees, right.
Yeah, and we see that as all the nations and all the Arab nations.
Right, absolutely. On a physical layer, I see that, yes.
Yeah, and you know, World War One. I'll tell you what, I absolutely see World War Two has been the key goal of World War Two was to establish the state of Israel. Absolutely, absolutely. And out of that, the U.N., Pale Horse, Endgame. And now, you know, obviously we've been all over the 1947-48 studies in recent weeks. You know, and with that under, with that foundation, then we, you know, prepares us for what I'm talking about now. But
so
I see
three things there. They put together world democracy, which is the beast. They put together the little horn, Israel, which is going to be the religious dominating factor. And they had brought in Bretton Woods in, the world currency.
Yeah. And what do we see in the Middle East now? You know, the media is hyping this thing up, is that now democracy is spreading. We're spreading democracy as a good thing. Because, you know, caution, right. When they call good evil and evil good. Because, you know, we clearly see the world democracy is the Antichrist kingdom.
That's
what does democracy do? This is what we're going to see now as this destabilization continues in the Middle East. As if it's not been hasn't been destabilized, you know, since this period of the 20s and 30s, as you know, they started carving it up. But what we see today, you know, going from you know, toppling the Shah of Iran, putting in the you know, the Ayatollah, and you know, what took place there, and what I see what they're doing is they're keeping the Arab nations unsettled. And now they're truly in the end game as they're spreading democracy, quote unquote. But really what they're doing is controlling these governments, making them smaller and smaller. What did they do to Iraq? They sectioned it off into three regions. And, you know, three regions that are easier to control. Because this is what it is. It's the global chessboard. And these globalist leaders are controlling these people. And it's ultimately setting the stage for the you know, the Third World War, as democracy continues to spread. What is democracy? It's poison. It poisoned the United States with, you know, with quote unquote freedom. Well, we see this freedom as feminism, you know, pornography, abortion, you know, all these freedoms that man can't handle without you know, a right relationship with the Lord. And we've seen, you know, America turn its back on God, and this is what's happening, going to happen now in these Muslim countries. As they, you know, infiltrate with this poisonous, you know, freedom from the West, quote unquote.
Right. They're just, you know, they're exploiting poison around the world. You know, democracy is based on a principle of majority rule. You know, right there, the foundation is not good because, you know, 51% can vote to eat the other 49%. But, it's also based upon majority. And we know throughout history that the majority is always wrong. They've never been right in 6,000 years.
Yeah.
Zero. They've never been right.
That's not good. That's not good at all, is it?
No.
And audience, when we had current events the past 2 weeks, we've had in Randy's shows and the Third Day show, you know, the spiritual signatures on one level are very deep in Scripture, rooted in Scripture, and it takes a knowledge of the Scripture to understand the many levels. But on a common sense, the president of Egypt shipped out $40 billion. The people of Egypt are starving. They're living on $2 a day. How much would $40 billion pay to feed the Egyptians?
Plus, he's taking all the heat, too. You know, they designed it this way. They could put all the heat on them while they bring world democracy in as the savior.
Yes. And you have, so now you have a division in Egypt, a significant spiritual signature, because Egypt is the the land most referred to in scriptures as where Israel was concerned about being slaves, where they were, the captives were released from Pharaoh, where Joseph did his miracles likened unto our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great famine on the land right now for the truth. And as best as possible, we're trying to give you as much scripture and proper renderings of that scripture so that you can stand in the truth.
And oh, yeah, the connections between Joseph are fascinating, Bob.
The outlay of Egypt on many levels is a key signature as far as this movement is growing, and it's moving faster. And then you have spiritual signatures that we're talking about democracy, but what does democracy bring with it? It brings lies. It brings lies. The mainstream media.
It's built upon flatteries.
It's flatteries, which is our main topic tonight, audience. And an introduction to that topic is basically, let's look at the mainstream media, your big three, NBC, ABC, CBS. The propagation of those once prominent channels, and as far as people having truth in their news, it is so convoluted, it's so diluted, that when you go to one site and you go to another site, there are different versions of the same story.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
So unbelievable that the Lord told you this would happen. This is revealed through Scripture. And before we do go into flatteries, the other thing I'd like to convey to you, audience, is in Romans chapter 2, verse 3. This is very important for you to understand if you're new to this ministry, audience. This is the Lord, our Lord, our God, speaking in terms of, what do you think? And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things as store up great wealth, everything we're talking about, audience, and doest the same that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So the Lord is saying, if you do what they're doing, and you're not a separate and peculiar people that recognize spiritually that it's time to repent, it's time to get your house in order, it's time to be used by the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, as his vessel to do his will on this earth. Because if you don't, you're like them. You're like the tares. You're like the serpents and scorpions. And we're going to reveal to you, audience, these flatteries. Chris, would you like to kick off flatteries?
Sure. Yeah, this is something that we've all been picking up on here lately, as that word just kind of is popping out. And as we've all kind of come at it from a couple of different angles, you know, we've all realized that this is huge. And, you know, as we see these days grow darker and darker, and in the meantime, you know, the message out there, especially in the Harlot Church, I mean, I can't think of a better word to describe it, but flatteries, in that everything's okay, you know, you're okay, you're saved, but, you know, we look at Scripture and we say that's not the case at all, that, you know, that they, like we say in Isaiah 28, where we always refer back to, that you have made a covenant with death and with hell are you in agreement, that when the overflowing scourge come, it will surely pass by us, for we have made lies our refuge and falsehoods we have hid ourselves. I mean, this is the message that's coming across the pulpits, you know, wherein these pastors are failing to communicate the severity of God. And, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, we're about to be visited by the severity of God. And, you know, we're calling, you know, our listeners and, you know, anyone who wants to hear to get ready, you know, prepare, because this is nothing to face blindly. And, you know, we've got some scripture laid out here that we're going to start working through. And, hopefully after this flattery study is done, I don't see us finishing it tonight. We'll probably have to make it into two parts because there's some rich stuff here. because, again, it's another another portion of Scripture, another prophecy, if you will, that, you know, in the mainstream church is something that's taught as something off in the distance, that the Antichrist is going to come and corrupt everybody with flatteries as he worships the pig on the altar in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. But I'm afraid, I'm sorry to say that, you know, these flatteries have already corrupted the covenant. You know, this stuff is all happening in real time right now. And, you know, we're here to, you know, help identify it. And hopefully we can find our place in this as we proceed. Because, you know, I'm telling you, folks, it's time to just be prepared for ministry. In that, you know, as people come to you looking for answers, you know, to find your role in this, you know, in this plan of God's, where he is using these deceptions today to do the very work of sorting out his flock. And, you know, any peripheral distractions that you might be facing, you know, contemplating a project that would, detract from, you know, being available for the Lord, I would say pray about it. And, you know, if it's something concerning preparing for, you know, to protect your family, you know, I'm not going to discount any of the, you know, the importance of any of that. But, you know, as far as, you know, saving up for a cruise because you're entitled to it, you know, forget it. Lose all that stuff because those days are over. You know, there's no more time for that stuff. You know, not to say there wasn't a time, but we're definitely in the shift. You know, the shift has begun. We're in a transition, you know, where it's the finishing up of things. You know, the Lord's strange act, it's upon us. You know, it's a consummation, which is the time that the Lord makes his enemies his footstool. And, you know, this teaching is twisted and distorted, beyond recognition. But we see that this time the Lamb is returning as the Lion. And, you know, this is the coming of the Son of Man. And this event is upon us. And it's gonna play out a whole lot differently than the mainstream church is taught. In that, you know, the nonsense about a rapture and God's people that he, you know, loves so much and would never, you know, cause any harm to. Well, you know, that's a notion that
that's pure flatteries as well.
Absolute flatteries. The rapture is a example of flatteries, huh? But, you know, I'm going to read, you know, Proverbs 28:23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. I mean, this is like a foundational idea that is so clear that, you know, we don't want people to smile while they're thinking ill of you or we want truth, and flatteries are lies, and this is the problem, and this is what I see in society today, as everybody's so busy being nice that they're
it provides a way for the flesh. You know, we've heard
exactly.
You know, been trained this way all through our life. The customer is always right, and
the customer is right.
I'm not saying the customer can't be right. That's not what I'm saying. But it's whatever flattery possible to keep the engine running, to make sure that the palms are greased and everything moves smoothly. You know, it's done in the political arena with world democracy spread by flatteries. The debt money system is fostered by flatteries. And the whole religious system is fostered by flatteries.
And these flatteries, audience, it's very important to understand that the gospel speaks differently to the serpents and scorpions. Okay, they're not recognizing scripture upon scripture, precept upon precept, from Genesis to Revelation. They're just cutting and pasting scripture and saying, this is a good thing. And listen to me, I got the mansion. I'm prosperous. I'm living off of your money. And look at what a good steward I am. I've got six cars in the garage. I've got acres of land. That's the truth, audience. And this was told in Revelation that it's going to be kind of like the times of Jonah. And what happened in the times of Jonah, we read in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them, even unto the least of them, they repented. That's you, audience. That is what our Lord is speaking of, is your repentance, to prepare yourself in this generation who was born at such a time as this to recognize these things, and not because the Joe Lunchbox crew tells you so, but because you're doing studies. You're learning a metaphoric language. You're learning your gospel. You're learning these signatures that the Lord has revealed unto his servants. You're learning what a tear is. You're recognizing that if you're in a church, you're not, the tares aren't on the other side of the aisle, audience. They're right next to you. You're also sitting next to serpents and scorpions. And they're ungodly. And they take evil for good. Brother Chris?
Yeah, it's a sad scenario today. As we have arrived at this point in time with the, what applies to us, you know, as far as our study of history and whatever, but whatever average age of our listeners, myself, you know, we cover about, range from 40s to 50s. You know, here on Watchmen, you know, the Watchmen here and our audience, whatever. You know, if we go back to, say, 1960s, the 70s, the 80s. I mean, the stuff that we've seen in our lifetime, as this stuff has all come to a manifestation.
The biggest change that I've seen in my lifetime and the most damaging one, and I've seen a lot since I have a very good memory back to 1955 anyway, but the women's liberation movement has done more damage than any of the movements that I have seen in my lifetime. And that whole movement was built upon flatteries. The entire movement was built upon flatteries.
They're all built upon flatteries.
And it's totally, destroyed this country. You know, the women bought into this. Now they got three jobs and they got to take care of the kids too. All for the sake of this flattery of you should have a career. And I'm not putting down women out there. That's not my motive here. But that, to me, and then they couldn't have gotten abortion without it, neither. You know, the word truths is never in the Bible with an S, never once, not one time in the entire scriptures. And it's based upon truth is singular. Lie is dual. It says that Satan, he says, he is the father of lies. Now, that's what duality is, two factions of evil. The word truth with an S is never one time in Scripture. It's just one truth, and that's it. There's no such thing
as amazing,
Stephen.
Yeah, that's huge. But, yeah, it's not just women's lib. It's not just the feminist movement.
No, it's not.
I'm talking about what it caused, because that's how the Marxist agenda has attacked the man.
Yes.
Attacked the father. Because it's out of this
devastating thing I've seen in my lifetime.
I mean, I live with my roommate that I'm with right now has, he's got the TV on. I've been detached from that for quite some time. But just, I walk by and pick up these shows. And I'm just so sensitive to now the way that the man is portrayed on television. It is absolutely sickening that he, the cartoons like Homer Simpson or whatever. But this stuff
started with Archie Bunker.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's just so, it all worked because after you hear those lies long enough, you believe them. And men start believing who they are. And I know in conversations that I've had with men, are always, belittling themselves and looking down upon themselves. And, this is just, against, what Scripture says. You know, the man is supposed to rule and reign over his house, at the same time, the woman, a woman's desire will be for the man, actually part of the curse, believe it or not, but it's not a curse when it's executed properly. because when a woman's desires will be for her husband, and you know that works when the husband is has assumed his role.
That's
as
true.
The spiritual leader of the house.
Another signature audience of the flesh, people understanding the flesh and not the spiritual. There is no dear sisters of the Watchman Weekly audience. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ does not discern the flesh in these matters. Okay, the flesh has discerned itself. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You are His bride. It is not a fleshly understanding of gender. It's an understanding of those that believe God. Now, in believing God, as the story of Jonah that we recounted, if you drill down on those that believe God, the proper rendering is that it's a primitive group. It's properly to build up or support, to foster as a parent or nurse, figuratively to render or be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet morally, to be true or certain once. And then it refers, and this is new to me, audience, I've never seen this before, to Isaiah chapter 30, 21. And thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, and when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. By interchange, to go to the right hand, hence assurance, believe, bring up, establish. And then the other side of the coin is to fail. And then you go back to the other side of the plumb line, audience, is to be faithful, of long continence, steadfast, sure, surely, trusty, verified, nursing, father, put trust, turn to the right. Now, audience, they believe God, and we here believe God, and through His revelation of Scripture, in telling you your situation in this generation, we're conveying a message of repentance to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not the world of the flesh. Brother Bill?
Yeah, that's, everything is the focus of all understanding is the fleshly understanding until the spiritual understanding can be seen. These things are going to remain dark. It's spiritual darkness.
Chris?
Yeah, I was just going to, hit upon, our scripture here in context. As we see, Daniel chapter 11, 32 says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And then 34 says, now when they fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And, we see here in verse 32, identity is right there. As such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And, we want to, identify with those people. The people that know their God shall be strong, and will, come against this corruption by flatteries, that the covenant of God has been corrupted by these false claims about who Jesus is and the character of God, and that we fail to understand the full character of the living God, and that His love is conditional, and He loves us. He loves His people. His mercy, His long-suffering, is beyond measure. But make no mistake that it only lasts for so long. And, we believe now that this is the final stretch of God's mercy, as His, the door will be shut, in that, those who, the unwise virgins who aren't prepared with the oil, this is not going to be a good place to be. And, the unwise virgins are the multitudes in the valley of decision. And, there's a decision to be made, in that, we have the ability to decide you know, who will serve. Decide today who will serve. And deciding which side of the plumb line you're going to find yourself when the trumpet sounds is, you know, upon us. These decisions are upon us. And, you know, it's definitely time to stop messing around. This is not, we're not preparing you for you know, way off in the future. I mean, there's nothing that leads us to believe that this thing isn't upon us. You know, even to the point of, you know, the scripture in Revelation chapter 9, I believe that this is upon us. I believe that we clearly saw the opening of the bottomless pit in the Gulf oil spill and the release of the serpent's spirits. Revelation 9:15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of the men. And I'm not going to sit here dogmatically and say that in an hour, a day, a month, and a year that the sixth trumpet's going to sound, but it might. And it's looking. It looks like this might be where we are right now. Evidence is definitely leaning towards that. So, hey, it's just time. It's just time, folks. It's just time. All right, Daniel 11:21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he fall come in peaceably. He shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And then he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land.
That sounds kind of like the Queen of Sheba.
Daniel, what, Chris?
11:28.
11, yeah. That's the king of the north and the king of the south, right?
And at the time, is that what this is? And
at I believe
the time
so.
And it shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Then the arm shall stand in his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strengths, and shall take away the daily sacrifices, and shall place
pollute the sanctuary of strengths. That's a big one there.
Yeah, what is that?
Well, to me, the pollute the sanctuary of strength is, you know, where there was some, once there was some truth, that where men could gather, you know, could gather spiritual strength from, and spiritual strength in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's just been totally polluted now. And the daily has ceased.
Yeah. And then, you know, I still try to really wrestle with this identification. You know, I just see it as the false prophet, but it just shifts around. It's really hard to keep a hold of.
It is. Some of those are really hard, yeah.
But James Lloyd has supposedly got Daniel down, and I'd really like to.
Well, you know, on one level, it's being revealed. On another level, you can see the whole world lies in wickedness and the rumors of war and the lack of repentance.
That's the big one right there.
No one is turning to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're one of the only ministries that actually preaches this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're at a point where these fleshly manifestations of the gospel, you know, are happening per revelation. Pit of hell opened up, signatures. Egypt, you know, how many spiritual signatures did we all pull together? There was multiple layers of scripture that actually tell us exactly what's going on. It's just when it's real time, you don't have time to study down and drill down on that. You know, what is the significance of Egypt? Is that the kickoff? Remember, it was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And Egypt was the kicker to start off these kingdoms, and it's manifesting now as a key signature. Bill?
Yeah. Yeah, it could run through those. Yeah, there's so many layers of this Egypt thing coming out now.
I had a guy on my Dinar forum they're talking about end times on there. And I piped up and I put out some truth. And then the guy came back, well, Babylon's in Iraq.
Well, they're not going to see.
Yeah, I thought the desert there in Iraq, it's a big pile of sand is what it is.
Yeah.
But it's going to rise up, and that along with the Islam boogeyman and the Babylon mirage, it's a mirage out on the sand that there's a Babylon there.
And we didn't get it out. I'm sorry, Bill.
Well, this is what we're trained to fear instead of having our eye on the, you know, this is the magician. He's got one hand.
Yeah, these masses are definitely afraid to death of a Muslim around every corner.
Yeah.
Everybody I talked to has got all of this all fired up with Glenn, you know. Oh, yeah, Glenn Beck this week had a video about one of his shows. He did a two-hour show on the Iman Mahdi.
Yeah, I know.
And he's got it. He is the false prophet. The false prophet.
He's another big fight promoter.
Yeah, and he's propagating this fear on the people. I'm in a town that has Muslims, and they're their lunchbox.
They're nice people.
They're doing their thing.
Their family.
And
they don't get tattoos.
Yeah. Well, you know, Glenn Beck is going to get about a 3% cut of the whole big ticket gate, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
He's in big, man. He's in bad shape.
Well, you know what the thing is? It's just these frickin' Knights of Malta, man. They're all, I mean, I looked over that list of Knights of Malta again, and I just about died, you know. We got, you know, Rupert Murdoch controls all the media. You know, this is the end game. They're digging up the Pope. You know, Rick Joyner. I mean, this stuff is just beyond comprehension. It's all going to end. You know, get a load of this. What is the Catholic Church? It's the universal church. That's what Catholic means. How's that? I mean, is that prophetic? Because this is what
run that
doing.
By me again.
Universal religion.
Universal religion is what?
Well, Catholic means universal.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That's what the word Catholic means.
That's very interesting.
This is what they're doing.
Yeah, they're going to change it to universal eventually.
It's going
to
be universal. It's going to be like the crescent wrench religion. One size fits all.
Yeah, that's right. One size fits all. Wow, I didn't realize that. So they could just conveniently get rid of the Catholic name and still have the Catholic name.
Yeah. Well, that's what Catholic means. One holy and apostolic church. One holy, whatever the thing said. But really, you know, the bottom line is it's all the deception concerning the three lines of Abraham. Right?
Yeah, that's where all the conception is. Yeah, the deception, I mean, the three lines of Abraham. The real line of Abraham is Jesus Christ. That they can't see. So they're hanging on to Isaac, and they're hanging on to
Ishmael,
right?
And they're deceiving the whole world as to that fact. This is all fleshly, and these people are making money hand over fist. This John Hagee with Kufi.
He's getting like 20% of the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're propagating this. Well, all we have to look at is our own government. They're all dual citizens.
Yeah,
Spirit of Esau.
And then
they'll propagate that, they don't have interest. Well, that's treason, what they're doing now. They fall under the War Treason Act for subverting the Constitution of the United States.
Right, I believe Canada was the only, and I could be wrong about this, but I think Canada was the only country set up where you could have dual citizenship with the U.S. And it was written way, way back. I don't know if it was written in the Articles of Confederation or the Constitution, but I think that was the only country. I could be wrong about that.
Well,
now we have all this Israeli dual citizenship since 1947. You know, where does that come from?
All in a position of power.
And they're in a position of power in Canada, these same people. They got the Canadian Supreme Court, whatever they call it here. I'm not up on it. But
same as the U.S.
It's got like half Israeli citizens on it.
Yes. And if you look at all the other countries, it's basically the same. The bankers have their clique in place to do their will. And they're all, you know, fleshly understanding, and but they think they're doing the will of the Lord.
They think they're doing them right.
Okay.
You know, how come they don't have Iraqi dual citizenship, all these countries?
Man, these countries have got such a grip on, like, you know, it's illegal.
Israel is totally the little horn. I mean, if a person can't see that, they're totally blind.
Yeah. But they're the beak blind. In this time...
Yeah, people teach that. Not, you know, there's probably, you know, 144,000 eventually will teach it, but, you know, that's, you know, how many people really understand that? Boy, that was something that Milton Greenhead had figured out, huh, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah, that was back in the 80s.
In the 80s.
He's the only, he is the only preacher. Now, I haven't been around the church like you guys have. But I've watched some on TV, and I've attended a few sermons through my lifetime. But he is the only preacher that I've ever heard that has the truth.
Yeah.
Now, and I mean... You know, obviously we're in connections with people that have the truth, but just as far as a guy that could just stand there and preach like he preaches, I've never seen one before that had the truth like that.
He had the truth.
And you could say that this could be an exponential learning of the truth as far as people starting to understand the scriptures and the proper rendering of scriptures.
Well, look how many people are learning so fast, like Cindy and Loretta. Now Loretta's teaching us.
Are you familiar with the Christie?
What?
Are you familiar with the Christie?
Oh, no, not offhand.
She had just put a post on our last week's show, the rejected knowledge that you put out.
Oh, yeah.
With a good question on it. So she looks like another person waking up. I guess wanting how to address somebody with this Israel problem in the church, you know, not being able to communicate with them who Israel is. And
But
they are. And it looks like, you know, more people waking up.
Are you dealing with those, Bill? Are you answering things?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good, because I don't. I sure don't. I hope you know, I can't keep up with all that stuff. I'm way behind on Fence Along the River and everything. I just, you know. I tell you, I really appreciate you taking that on, Bill, and keeping an eye on that thing. That's a big deal.
You know, I don't mind doing that at all. I'm blessed to be able to do that.
Question, we leave them hanging.
Yeah.
And Chris, let's make sure that we move Bill's parable study to the front page.
Yeah. Well, give me an email with all that, and I'll do it. And then what? You have you still have a study out there, right, Bill?
I have one study that hasn't been posted yet. It's the two factions of evil.
Oh, is it? Man, that's a good one. I got to get that up. I will get that up in the next day or two.
Okie doke.
And you just keep sending show notes, Bill. I may be a day or two behind, but I'll get them all up.
And then what about you? What about Bill's studies? We got to get those things organized somewhere.
I've got them in a folder from you from 2 years ago, Watchmen Cry.
That one. But, you know, we should have Bill organize them for us. I mean, you know, there's a lot of them on Third Great Awakening, but there's so many. I've saved them that you've sent, Bill, but those things that you, some of these studies, like this last week, what the heck did you send? And I go, oh, my gosh, I can't even deal with this right now. So I saved it, but, I mean, I'd like to have all those things organized somewhere.
I have the entire, I would say, Bill Johnson posts on Watchman's Cry that you sent me, Chris. I just found it.
Oh,
the Willy Bob folder. I got the Willy Bob folder.
The Willy Bob folder.
Yes. Here it's coming.
Yeah, we tried to give those people the truth for years. I mean, you know, for a year there on the identities.
That's what we tried
to drive home is the identities. And they're just all lost, you know. They see the picture, but they lost with who's who.
The closest thing they have is Bixbite. And he veers off course all the time.
Right, he'll veer off course a little bit. But he is, you know, I mean, I've learned a lot from that guy. You know, he doesn't get that one little piece, but he comes up with some excellent information in places that I've never seen before, and I have to take my hat off to him. And I know his heart is sincere. I know he has a sincere heart.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Put this file, Bill. This is one file. They're all in Word documents. And okay. If you do one, send it to me and I'll upload it.
Okay, that last one I sent you, like yesterday, it was complete. You could put it up there with the that study, the 430-year sojourn.
It's on its way right now. I'm going to upload it, Chris.
That's another Jewish fable, that they were in Egypt for 400 years. I recommend anybody to go listen to that study and to read the study notes with that show. They were only in Egypt 215 years. It's absolutely provable in Scripture.
Jewish fables and meaningless genealogies.
Right. So, you know, they play on 400 years, and then they didn't even go into bondage till Moses. About the time when Moses was born is when they were brought into bondage. It just says Acts chapter 7, 6. They were eventually would be brought into bondage. And that was about 20, 25 years before Moses was born.
How long do you think we've been in bondage? How long have we been in bondage?
How long have we been in bondage?
Yeah.
Oh.
Since 48?
Yeah, probably at least that, yeah. You know, certainly on a – we were kind of – you know, America kind of went through a 6, 7, 8 cycle just like they did. And, you know, they were nourished in the land of Goshen. We had good times in this country. You know, there was some men of God. America was blessed to a certain degree. Nobody could ever really – we know that the rootings were Freemasonry and everything. But nonetheless, God did shed some grace and some bless upon America. And, you know, we threw that away in the garbage, and we tried to start an eighth.
Yeah.
And
we tried to start an eighth.
Right, we started going into into Egyptian bondage after 19. You know, the IRS was basically non-existent by 1947. It was basically non-existent, even though they were there. But real, all the teeth and everything came out, and the IRS codes came out in the early 1950s. And you know, there's your mark of the beast. If these people have to have a physical mark of the beast, I mean, they're dead set on having a physical mark of the beast. I mean, you got it. You've had it for years. It's the Social Security number.
Social Security number.
I worry about a chip under your skin. You can't buy or sell or do nothing without the Social Security number.
And, you know, when we talk about the feminist movement and the matriarchal takeover, really, ultimately, it's the destruction of the family. And it started with the Social Security Act because there, the seniors become the wards of the state as opposed to the family taking care of them.
Yes, absolutely. That's right. The seniors become wards of the state. You're right.
And there's many instances that they're stealing. These groups are going in. They're interviewing these seniors, and they are coming out saying they're unfit. They got to go to some place. And, oh, by the way, we're going to take their house to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that they come into our institutions. We take their house, sell it. Take our cut, and then we put these poor elderly people in, you know, the pits of hell, you know, places that they already had their retirement paid for. They did the right thing and stored up and saved their nuts as a squirrel would.
That's right.
Just all these abominations are happening, and the general
public. It's going to get worse. And there is such a false sense of security out there right now. People are absolutely oblivious to what's coming, and they think that the economy is turning around.
Well, they must think a lot of things are turning around, but no, it's not going to happen. You know, you talked about families. At least, you know, they consider China and India as pagan fourth world countries or whatever, but Christians who are supposed to know better.
Yeah.
They've destroyed their family. You know, the Hindu people and the Chinese people, they still have their families. You know, it's a family respect and stuff, and they still keep it. But, you know, the Christians have abandoned the family, and, you know, it's like it was Karl Marx's plan.
Right. Right. Real time, folks.
It's real time, folks.
The revolution will not be televised.
And we pray that you endure.
I ought to put that. We'll have to use that song for the end of the show. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you in living color.
No, we should go back, Chris. Here's an idea for you, pal. Remember our first show? The Titanic song?
Yeah.
I wonder if we have that in the files. This is getting Titanic now.
Yeah.
Any day it could break out in the Middle East.
Yeah. Israel is surrounded.
Yes.
Yeah. The safest place in the world is surrounded. Oh, you're right. And spiritual Israel is obviously surrounded, encompassed by armies.
Totally encompassed and not...
That's what I say.
The terrorists have surrounded the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was really profound also what Sue came up with the week before with the dual meaning. That definition that said, you know, a dual meaning. Remember that?
Yes.
It was on the secret part one, I think.
Yeah, both of those shows were just excellent. They're probably worth listening to again because...
Yeah, she's been, you know, she's slowed down, but the things she's getting are so good.
I agree.
That's where we are now.
I agree that it's really, really outstanding revelation.
You know, audience, if we ever play this, if this goes out, I want to tell you about Sue Patterson. Sue Patterson is a woman that when I call, she's building her tents. You get her on a phone call and she's cutting wood preparing for the winter. You get her on a phone call, she's doing the back work in her business, working on things. And she's just a remarkable woman that the Lord has blessed abundantly.
Yeah, she's her thing as a child, as a young girl, was putting together puzzles. And, you know, she's just a humble servant of the Lord. You know, she has to end the phone call because she's got to go feed her chickens. And, you know, this is just, a humble servant that, you know, we talk about all the time, but it's only out of just, pure respect and understanding that, you know, what the Lord used she and Randy for was very significant. You know, I say many times I liken it to the King James Bible. I mean, for these times, the understanding.
Well, you have to remember when the King James Bible first came out, there really were very few people, English speaking people in the world. And that's basically the case now with the remnant who have the understanding. There's very few of them in the world. But this is going to, you know, but when they do have it and they're ready for the understanding, it'll be there.
And then, you know, Bill, what did you make the connection this week with the spiritual, overlay of the like speaking in tongues? You know, we could definitely tie that to the metaphoric language today.
Oh, yeah, it's a spiritual language in Scripture. That's what it is. It's a spiritual language in Scripture.
And you know, this is the language that the Lord has opened up to us. You know, the words of Daniel, go that way, Daniel, these words will be sealed till the time of the end. And you know, we definitely see those as being unsealed right now.
Unconfirmed reports of Gaddafi leaving Libya.
I'll never forget a Saturday Night Live skit. It was the Gaddafi gene. For that Gaddafi fuck. Whether you're sentencing a thief or chopping the hand off a thief, the Gaddafi genes, you know, whatever. This stuff is just all coming together.
And I try not to be a doomtard. But fleshly, if you go through Beast Watch and you look at all these manifestations, the evidence is so overwhelming in the flesh that the spiritual understanding, you know, you could never see this coming.
You will never see it. You'll just be totally blind.
Totally blind and again, I liken it unto, you know,
Satan was looking for everything in the flesh, and he was totally blinded at the cross.
And I do recall, and this keeps sticking in my mind, the plagues of Egypt. It was 40 days.
Yeah.
So tribulation could be 40 days.
Even the 42 months has some kind of significance with the word 40, or the number 40. I don't know. I just started thinking about that this morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what the extra two is on there about, but I do know it's associated with the 40 tribulation, which is all over Scripture.
The 40 years time of testing.
Mm-hmm. And Randy's Mayan Gate reference.
Yeah.
You know, in Jerusalem, right. The gate, this is what the enemy thinks. You know, they're thinking on a fleshly plane, but they're thinking spiritually in terms of dark arts. We have the light of the world in our gospel, and they have the dark light.
The dark light, right. The light, the darkness calls itself light, right.
The God forces.
And,
I don't know if that, I mean, that's all part of it.
Well,
isn't that...
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I'm just thinking it was amazing that that Satan himself is a spirit. He gets all of his people to be deceived by the flesh, and yet alone he was deceived at the cross, all fleshly. He had the fleshly understanding and he had no idea what was taking place.
Yeah.
I just think that's amazing that even himself was deceived. He's totally mad out of his mind, or her mind, or whatever you want to call this thing. But
like the scripture says, this is the man who caused men to tremble.
Yeah.
Caused nations to tremble. You know, it's just all through lies, all through deception. It is literally amazing. It's just literally amazing. And, you know, we come across as doom and gloomers, but it's not, it's just that we don't want to have anybody get any hope in the flesh anymore. I mean, anybody who has any hope on anything earthly is just beating their head against the wall. Give it up.
Right. Give it up. That's right. Yeah. You know, come out of her unless you be partakers of her plagues and her sins. You know, it's the
audience.
Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth.
That's
the person I wrestled with all my life, and I'm finally not wrestling with it anymore.
I can attest, audience, you will never see this in the flesh. You will be so blindsided by what is going on in terms of revelation, because if you were told this, you just wouldn't believe it. And we're telling you this pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, okay, is a lie. The churches are fully leavened. They're fully leavened, and we're doing a show on escape next week. To tell anyone that'll listen, you know, that you need to escape from where you're at and get with our Lord Jesus Christ in his covenant to serve him in this tribulation. It's likened unto the Lord will create fear in your mind individually that you, audience, a member of the audience that's in the apostate, that you, the Lord will put fear in your mind. And we can only imagine what that terrifying fear could be from the Lord. You need to prepare for this, audience. You need to repent of your sins. You need to sin no more and go. You need to prepare your house and get it in order. You need to be the temple of the Lord and understand these things. Bill?
Yeah, you need to clean out your house, right, and start seeing things in the spiritual, because the flesh is a dead-end street. It's been a dead-end street for 6,000 years, and people haven't figured that out yet. I mean, just look at the world after 6,000 years. What hope is there in man? I mean, doing it man's way and building the tower is all the flesh. And you would think that it's failed enough by now after 6,000 years of observation that, well, maybe, you know, this might not be the best way to go.
Millions of people have been living the Left Behind series.
Oh, yeah.
And millions. And when I saw the stats on that, you know, 10 million copies of books, 10 million copies of tapes.
You know, and they deceitfully push that into the educational system, too. These deceitful, wicked, evil, I don't know what you want, flatterers or liars, with this, you know, No Child Left Behind garbage about the school system, you know. They put it in there, too.
And then we got to realize that how to connect the dots with the 33-degree Freemason Tim LaHaye, who, you know, was the, you know, the mover and shaker behind these deceptive books pushing this dispensational point of view. Well, this is the man who started the Council on National Policy, who, you know, on the show we talked about the, you know, who control Christian media. Now, this whole infrastructure, and the owner of Salem Communications, you know, is in cahoots with the father what's the kid that owns Blackwater? Who's the guy that owns Blackwater? The punk.
They're just pukes. Who knows?
Yeah, they're probably all interconnected and woven into this deceitful cloth.
They are vessels of wrath. They are vessels of wrath, that whole outfit. Woe unto them, man, because they're harming children.
Yep.
And woe unto all these apostate serpents and scorpions. They know not what they do.
Yeah, and they're all carrying out the dominionist flesh agenda in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the problem.
Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, condemned to death. They're going to be tossed with the dragon and the false prophet and the beast into the pit of hell.
Yeah, all done in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's going to be a real good future there.
Boy.
Yeah.
And we got to think about the figures that are tied to this thing. You know, I read today, just in surfing around, how James Dobson focused on the family when he addressed the Council on National Policy. He's all in. He's in this thing, you know, yeah. and gave a complete Freemasonic speech, you know, and
it's open. It's open to the flesh now. The flesh, people that have ears to hear, will recognize true gospel and these false prophets. Audience, you are to be, you are to follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. And the narrow way is so narrow that it's, you could say it's so far off the highway that you have to walk 3 days through the brush, through the wilderness, and climb up on a mountain and get to the top of the mountain and look down and say, oh my God, how far is this narrow way from where we are? In the flesh. Gentlemen, that's about a wrap.
That's a wrap for me, guys.
Bill, you want to add anything to the audience?
No, I just seek ye first the kingdom of God and grab onto Jesus' robe, because there's no other way through this fire. He's the way, there's no ways and there's no truths and there's no lives. There's no S's on Jesus. It's all singular. He's the way, the truth, and the life. All the S's are on the adversary, Satan. He is the father of lies.
Yeah, what do we see in the Bill of Rights? We hold these truths. Plural.
Yeah, there's no right. There are no truths in the Bible.
I never realized that.
There are no truths. Yeah.
That's a really profound.
Yeah, it was all Freemasons wrote that.
Yeah. There's one truth.
We hold these truths to be true, right. Wow, yeah. Yeah, I do remember. I've read that several times, too, and it passed over my head until you just now brought it up.
Yeah, because I never thought it was wrong.
Lies are plural. That's the tree of knowledge. And the truth is the tree of life, which is singular.
Singular.
It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ all in perfect oneness.
And that's the way Jesus taught, and didactically, with a single mind, presenting the truth, not multiple versions and allow you to make up your mind. Because this is that's the way that the church teaches with flatteries today, giving you the truth that you want, the truth that your itching ears respond to, the truth that itches your ears.
That's right. That's what flatteries do. Flatteries, they itch the ears, right. That's what itching ears is. Oh, well, let's go somewhere and get flatterized. Yeah. You know, why do women put on a bunch of makeup and stuff and put their hair up? Or why do men want to go out and polish their car for hours? And, you know, they want flatteries from other people, you know.
Boy, no one's ever going to accuse me of flatteries when they look at my car. My truck is filthy right now.
I might have to wash it. I haven't washed it in a year, but might have to rethink that a little bit. But Scripture does say, have no appearance of evil. So,
audience, we'll close with Revelation 22:19 through 21. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part, and out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Sardern. Good night.